good afternoon. Am I on? Oh, I am. Right. You've been promised a change of gear, so I'll do my best. It's not what I had planned, but I'll see what I can do. So I just wondered what you think of when you think of Easter. Yeah, maybe you have grown up in the church like me, and you associate Easter with all sorts of traditions like the cross, like resurrection, like all that sort of stuff, the stations that we did on the way in. Maybe you think about chocolate and bunnies. Maybe chicks, maybe it's the coming of spring. But I wonder how many of you would think of this. No? No? I'll come back to that later. But first, I'm going to need some help. And seeing how you were all so keen to volunteer last time, I bought bribery. So, I need help from a child who likes cream eggs. Do you think we have any of those in the building? So, this is what we're going to do. If you're a child who likes cream eggs, could you please stand? No? Really? Okay. Yeah, we got one. Only one? Only one? Oh, standing at the back. Okay. Now, if you are standing and you have not ever been camping, please sit down. Because I need somebody who's been camping. So have we all been camping? Okay. So I think the lad over here with the glasses, looking absolutely fantastic, was the first to stand up. So we'll go with you. Now, give him a round of applause. Come on. Now, who can tell me what the most difficult thing about camping is? Sleeping? No, sorry. Staying dry? No. Putting the tent up? No. Packing the tent away. Putting that massive tent back in the tiny little bag it came in that it could not possibly fit in. That's the most difficult thing. We don't have room for a tent. But this is the next best thing. This, believe it or not, is my wife's sleeping bag. Rated for Arctic conditions. Guaranteed to keep even her warm on the balmiest of summer evenings. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to put this back in the bag it came in. And if you manage it, you'll win the prize. Okay? Take all the space you need and see if you can do it. Right. Now, while he's doing that, try and concentrate on this. Okay. So, a little background for you. If I can find my space again. Where have I gone? So, everything that Jesus did during his life was rooted in the background of the people of Israel and God's plan for them. There's a lot of history to cover, and I've only got a couple of minutes. So you'll be pleased to know I'll be as brief as I can. But if you want more detail, if you're not familiar with the story, then please do speak to someone afterwards, someone you came with or one of us, and we can help explore that with you. But briefly, and I mean briefly, goes like this, okay? God created people because God wanted relationship with people, so he lived with those people. Relationship became impossible because people chose to go their own way, what we now refer to as sin. And God could no longer live with people. But instead of giving up, God chose a family and created a nation called Israel to be an example to the rest of God's people, and that's everybody else. God then found a way to live with those people again But because the people had strayed so far from the path that he originally intended, the only way it could be achieved was to create a small and very special place where God's presence would be. But no person, except for the high priest, could enter that place. And even then, only once a year. This place was in the center of the temple and called the Holy of Holies. And it was protected by a curtain or a veil. Or if you want to be really basic, a piece of cloth. You've done it. Give a round of applause, everybody. Now, be honest, how hard was that? Really hard. Well, there you go. Well done. So, all right, the point of that is that the problem is God can't be contained in a small area. When you love someone, you don't want to be put in a box. You want to share your life with them and share in their lives as well. Now, for many Christians, I think a standard response to what the meaning of Easter is, or what did Jesus do for us on the cross, or what's the biggest miracle that Jesus performed, it would probably be the forgiveness of sins. Right? Yeah? Good. Okay, that corrects. Well done. It's in the Bible, so you're allowed to agree with me on that part. It's what we believe in. But I do wonder if we get a little bit stuck on the mechanism here. Because it's amazing and it's beautiful, but the forgiveness of sins is a means to an end and not the end itself. Why did Jesus deal with our sin at the cross? Well, it comes back to this. And now I do need two more volunteers. This time, I'm looking for strong adults. And yes, I bought bribery. Strong adults. Come on then. One more. Come on. Come on. Oh, come on. Excellent. Right. What I want you to do is stand in front of the... Why not stand in front of the cross? Let's do that. Right. Now, I would like you to hold this like so. You hold that end. You hold that end. Right. Now, hold it up. There you go. Right. Now, what I want you to do is I'm going to read out a verse. And as I read that verse, I want you to try and reenact. It's all right. It's not, you know, I'm not asking you to die on the cross. It's okay. I want you to reenact the bit that talks about the curtain, okay? You're way ahead of me, I know, so you'll know what you want you to do. Okay, you might want to try and grab it in the middle, I don't know. So, Matthew 27, verses 50 to 51 say, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Excellent, well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Fantastic. See, Mark and Luke also state that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, so it has to be significant. It's easy to miss the significance from such a line in our modern context because we're so far removed from what the Jews of the time would have recognized in their culture. Now, the theme of our service today is Easter changes everything. But when you ask yourself what changed because of Jesus' death and resurrection, it's this. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain no longer separated God from people. The relationship that God wanted with people was restored. Jesus didn't go through persecution, death, and resurrection just to take away our sins. He went through persecution, death, and resurrection so that our sins would be dealt with, so that our relationship with God could be restored. That's the biggest miracle that Jesus performed. That's why Easter changes everything. We are no longer blocked from knowing and having a relationship with God. God is no longer in the box. So Paul, if you don't know, is a very significant character in the early Christian church. He wrote half the New Testament that's in our Bibles. But Paul, before his conversion, was somebody who hunted down and persecuted Christians. He hated what he saw was a threat to his Jewish worldview. As Andy said 2 weeks ago, if God can save Paul, God can save anyone. Now, Paul wrote this in the opening of his letter to the Ephesians. This is from the New Testament for Everyone translation. He chose us in him before the world was made, so as to be holy and irreproachable before him in love. He foreordained or planned us for himself to be adopted as sons and daughters through Jesus, the Messiah. That's how he wanted it. And that's what gave him delight, so that the glory of his grace, the grace he poured on us in his beloved one, might receive its due praise. Now the problem is, if we focus only on God forgiving our sins, then I would suggest we miss the point that Paul was making to the Ephesians. God welcoming us back into the family as sons and daughters. God has chosen to restore that relationship status to us. But like any relationship, it's not a one-sided thing. I don't know if you've ever tried, but it's very difficult having a relationship with someone who doesn't want to have a relationship with you. So our part in all of this is to choose to engage in that relationship with God. God is out of the box and inviting us to accept the offer of relationship. Will you accept? Yes. This is for people who have been in the church for years, as much as someone who has never been, by the way. Even those in the church have to choose to engage in that relationship. We can be as guilty as anyone of trying to put God into the box, keeping God at church and ignoring God the rest of the time. I have to put my hand up to that one. So can I encourage anyone here who wants to accept God's offer of relationship, of love like you have never known or experienced, to follow me in this prayer? God, I am sorry for those times that I have tried to put you in a church-shaped box and chosen to ignore you when it's not convenient for me. I choose today to accept that you want a relationship with me, that you want me as a son or daughter. I declare that I believe my life is infinitely better with you in it, and invite you to walk with me in my bad times as well as my good. Thank you for sending Jesus to us to tear down the curtain and remove the barriers that separate us from knowing each other. Will you help me through your Spirit to continue in that relationship when I walk out of the door this afternoon, and in each moment that follows, to live in the truth that I am your son or daughter? Amen. The final thing that I will say is, if that was the first time that you prayed a prayer like that, even if you've been coming for years, but if you've realized something this afternoon, please tell someone, please pray with someone, and let us support you on that journey. Thank you.